Good morning, each and every one.
Good morning.
You're all well, I trust. Well, you know where we're going to, Hebrews chapter 11, and we are going to continue our little study of verse 31. We didn't get finished on Tuesday past, but we will do that today. Then we come to an interesting part. Up to now, it's been individual after individual after individual that Paul has spoken of. Then he sort of changes direction just a little bit, and we'll consider that next week in the will of the Lord. But let's look at verse 31. I'll read it to you afresh, by faith. Oh, that lovely phrase, by faith. Is it your anchor today? Do you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you trusting Him? That's what made all the wondrous things happen in the lives of those we've been looking at. And those we have been looking at in this chapter, whose names are before us, they're all in heaven. They're all in heaven at this moment, and have been there for a long, 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 long time. Going right back to the days of Abel. How long has he not been in the presence of the Lord? It's a long time indeed. And one day, those who trust the Saviour will join them and be with him. By faith, oh, that you have faith today. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. Now we spend a little time on that, and we come, as it were, to what I'd call the second half of our study of this verse. I want you to notice, if you remember, that the faith that Rahab had, it caused her to act in a certain way. She received the spies because she believed what she heard about the Lord. When the spies from Israel came, that changed her attitude. Before, she would have been just a loyal member of the city of Jericho and shared the political views, the religious views of the people, until she heard what God had done. That changed everything. She realized that whatever God she had been following up until then, whatever religious views she had up until then, and maybe she hadn't really any religious views, maybe she was an entirely irreligious person, for all we know. She certainly seemed to have had a name for sinfulness. But when she heard the reports about the Lord, that changed everything. She believed what she heard about the Lord, that He was God, and that this people, Israel, that were marching toward Canaan, they were His people. And furthermore, the land of Canaan, in which Jericho was, He was giving to Israel. She believed that. Oh, she just believed what she heard about the Lord and His purpose. And consequently, that changed her attitude. She no longer looked on Israel as a threat and a foe and an enemy. But when two of the members of that race, the Jews, came to the city, she received them as a friend. She received them as a friend. She received the spies with peace, the verse says. She welcomed them into her home, looked after them, offered them what help she could give, because she believed what she had heard about God. Now, we've looked at that, and I'm just emphasizing it, but now I want you to notice that her actions brought salvation to her whole household. Her faith in the reports about God not only brought salvation to herself, because Rahab's in heaven. Listen, this lady you're reading about in your Bible, if you go to heaven, you will meet her one day. That's something. You will meet her one day. If you're saying what you do when you read the Bible, what you do is perhaps what sometimes mommy or daddy does at home. They take down, well, in our house, it's a rather large album. In fact, we have a whole lot of them. And mommy or daddy might say, come here. Here do you see? And they open up this album and they point to this old black and white sort of fuzzy picture and they say, that was your great-great-granda or your great-great-granny. Well, there's a picture of your family years and years and years ago. That's what's in that album. Pictures of those from whom you have sprung. you've been born. Well, that's what the Bible is. It shows us our relatives, spiritually speaking. It shows our family. And one day we will meet them all. We'll meet them all. You'll meet Abraham. You'll meet Adam and Eve and Abel and all the rest of them right down. Royal David, Solomon, Elijah, the prophet, and John. Ah, but above all, we'll meet the Lord one day. It has an impact, you see, upon our lives, this getting saved. And it has an impact upon our families, because as a result of Rahab believing the reports she heard about God, she told them these reports to her family. And as a result, they too believed. They too believed. Listen to what we read, and you older ones, look it up. Joshua chapter 6, the verse 2. The city has been now besieged by Israel, and they're about to take it. God has brought down the walls. But Joshua said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house, and bring out thence the woman, and all that she has. Now, I'm not talking about her wardrobe. I'm not talking about her shoes and clothes and all the rest of it. All she had was referring to her family. And bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. Joshua chapter 6 and the verse 2. Now the walls had come down, but Rahab's house hadn't collapsed. And Rahab's family that had gone into the house, and from the window of that house they had tied a scarlet thread marking the house, so that the spies and Israel generally would know this is the house of the one who had welcomed the spies, who believes in the Lord. Their house wasn't destroyed. It would have been destroyed sitting up there on the top of the wall if the walls had just collapsed out. Would have been destroyed. Rahab would have been killed. But the walls didn't collapse out. The walls sunk down into the ground until Rahab was able to open her front door and step out onto the ground. And now the spies have come to welcome her into the ranks of Israel, receive her as a friend as she had received them. And she brought her whole house with her. I don't know who that would have been. We're not given details. But whoever belonged to that family circle believed the testimony of Rahab, joined with her in faith, and they too were saved. They were the only ones saved out of the thousands in Jericho because they believed. Because they believed. And boys and girls, when we believe the gospel, you know the first thing that we should do? I know we might say the very first thing we should do is to thank the Lord. But after we have paid our thanks to God, the first thing we should do is seek to see our family saved, is to look out for them, is to look out for them. It was only a couple of Sabbaths ago that the preacher here on the morning, at the morning service, spoke about Andrew, who, when he found the Lord Jesus, went immediately and found his brother Peter and said, Peter, we have found the Messiah. We have found the Savior. He went first to his brother Peter. And we have an obligation to do that, to seek out our family. And if there's any member of our family not saved, we should be ever praying for them. And when the opportunity comes up, speaking a wee word to them, reminding them that you have found the Messiah. You know the Lord Jesus as Savior, and you want them to know him as well. Because Andrew brought Peter to Jesus. Didn't just talk about him to Peter, but he brought Peter to the Lord Jesus. In Acts chapter 16, there's a very well-known character. He's called the jailer. We don't know his name, but we know all about him and his wonderful conversion. And the question that he asked Paul, what must I do to be saved? That question has been repeated in pulpits and in gospel tracts millions of times. Millions of times. And the answer, of course, to the question has likewise been proclaimed millions of times. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And the man believed and was saved. And then it goes on in that chapter 16 down to the verse 42, and it mentions the fact that the whole family came under the word of God and believed it. Because he released Paul and Silas, who were in a jail. He tended to the wounds they had received when they were beaten. And he gave them food. And he had them speak to his whole family who he gathered in. And they too believed the word. Listen to me. It's your solemn duty to love, to pray for, to witness to your family. To witness to your family. That's what this woman did. She got her family saved. She got the last one into the house that was marked with, by the scarlet thread, the mark of redemption. The Lord Jesus said to the poor demoniac of Gadara, the man possessed by a legion of devils, but who was wonderfully saved by the Lord. When he got saved and the Savior was leaving Gadara and going back across the Sea of Galilee, he was clambering into the boat to go with him. I'm sure he had no suitcase. He had nothing. He was just, I'm following the Lord Jesus, not thinking about anything else. But the Savior said, no, no. My will for you is for you to go home. Go home and tell your friends. Tell your family. That's God's purpose. He wants you to tell your family. I was thinking, when I was getting these few thoughts gathered together, I was thinking of the prodigal son. It came into my mind that there too is this same principle. When the prodigal son underwent a change of mind and heart, and there was wrought in him conversion. Do you remember what he said? I will arise and go to my father's house and say to my father, I have sinned. I have sinned. The first place he went to after there was this change wrought within him was to his father's house. There to tell the change that had been wrought in him by the grace of God, for that's what's been illustrated in the story. And he confessed that he had been a sinner. I've sinned against God, he said, and I've sinned against you, Father. Tell your family. And if you have a brother or a sister, and you know they're not saved, pray for them and speak to them. Speak to them. So, this woman's action brought not only herself salvation, but it brought salvation to her whole family. They'll all be there in heaven. You'll meet them. As I say, we don't know how many there were. We don't know their names. One day we will. Likely there will be someone who, if you get to heaven, will come forward and say, I'm Rahab's father. I'm Rahab's mother. I'm Rahab's brother. That'll happen in heaven. Make sure your family, your loved ones are saved. You know, it is the express command of God that children be taught to follow their parents to faith in Christ. That's a specific command by God that children follow. Each one of you here today, when you speak, you don't sound like someone from London or Birmingham or Glasgow or even Belfast. You sound like someone from the depths of Tyrone or Fermanagh. You have an accent. Where did you pick that up? From Mommy and Daddy. You talk like Mommy and Daddy. You talk like Mommy and Daddy. When I was very young, our family moved to London. I actually started school in London, in a school just across the road from where we lived. I visited it some years ago and went through the same door into the same schoolyard that I had done over 60 years before. And the teacher rushed forward when she saw this stranger coming in. And I was able to tell her when she said, can I do anything for you? I said, well, if you were around 60 odd years ago, you could have. When I came here and started school, and there was a lot of little ones gathered around me, and I had a good time chatting to them. I'll tell you the story. I've already told you it once before, I'm sure. But in the yard, there were a number of manholes. Same ones that had been there when I was in the school and playing in the yard. And one day, way back when I was a child, that's way back in the 1940s, workmen had lifted a manhole cover and they were working in the manhole. And some little boy galloping about, as little boys tend to do, And not looking where he was running, he fell into the manhole. And I was telling the children about the little boy falling into the manhole. And one little boy looked up at me with his eyes wide and he said, "Is he still down there?" Well, he wasn't, obviously. He got out right away. He wasn't hurt or anything else. But when I came home, where we did the family return to live at Listenskee, I came home. I would have been about, let me see, 5, 6 years of age. My cousins used to come just to hear me talk. I wish they'd come to hear me talk years later, but they came to hear me talk because I talked as a Cockney, and I was talking away. "How are you? Are you making hay today?" And I had this Cockney accent coming from London, and I was only small. But I picked it up from those around me. And God wants us, and especially I'm talking now to you, God wants you to walk and to learn the ways that your mother and father have discovered in Christ. He wants you to follow them to faith in Christ. Just as Rahab's family followed her into the house of safety. So the Lord wants us. And he wants mommies and daddies to make every effort to make sure their children are doing that. You know, sometimes mommies and daddies can be very careless. And they don't notice the way the little Sonny Jim is speaking and talking and the interest that he has. They don't really notice it, because if they had, they'd say, "Wait a minute, that fellow's interested in things that he shouldn't be interested in. He's talking about things he shouldn't be talking about. I should be concerned about him. I'll have to talk to him about the Lord." But sometimes mommies and daddies are careless about these things and don't notice what children are up to. But that ought not to be the way, boys and girls. And if you have a mommy and daddy that, as it were, is forever looking over your shoulder to see what you're up to, you be thankful, because they love you, and in obedience to God, they want you to walk in the paths of holiness, paths that will take you to heaven. I was considering having us sing from Psalm 78 this morning, because you see, it tells us about this very matter. Psalm 78, "You older ones, oh, give ear, my people, to my law, incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable, I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and our fathers have told us." That's how you learn the gospel, chiefly. Not really by what preachers say, oh, they have a very serious part to play in the winning of souls, but chiefly the instrument God has ordained, his mum and dad, bringing us up, as Paul urged upon the parents in Ephesians chapter 6. Fathers, don't provoke your children, but raise them up in the nurture and admonition, the knowledge of the Lord. Well, let me bring one more point from this little verse. It's not perhaps seen in the verse, but you have to read the whole story of Rahab to learn this truth. But it's surely linked to the verse. Here's Rahab, a heathen woman. Then she hears about what God has done for this people Israel that she had never seen. And she believed. And when two of the Israelites came to spy, she received them friendly, tenderly, lovingly, gave them refuge and safety in the home, and said, "You remember me when you attack the city, for I know you're going to attack the city, and I know God's going to give you the city. I believe that." She says, "You remember me then, and spare my family. Don't put us to death as you will to all the others in the city." Then they remembered that, and so she was delivered. And that day that everybody else in Jericho was slain, she was taken by the hand with her family and walked into the ranks of Israel. Maybe even met Joshua, and she was welcomed into the ranks of Israel. She became, by adoption, a Jew, an Israelite, spiritually speaking. But she became much more than that. She married, had a son, at least one son, who married and had a son, who married and had a son. And so it went on for hundreds and hundreds of years, until one day there was born a special son, born of Mary. He was the Lord Jesus. And when you one day, if you're saved, meet with the Lord, he will tell you, "Rahab was my great, great, great," and I don't know how many greats there would have to be, "grandmother." You see, This is what happens when you get saved. You become part of the family of the Lord Jesus. In Matthew chapter 1, you have the family line of the Lord Jesus. And in the verse 5 of Matthew chapter 1, we read, "And Salmon begat Boaz," or had a son, Boaz, "of Rechab." That's the lady we're looking at in our text. So she had a son called Boaz. And it says Boaz begat Obad of Ruth. Now we're recognizing, surely, names. Ruth. And Boaz had a son called Obed. And Obed begat Jesse. And Jesse begat David, the king. So David could look back and he knew that Rahab was his great, great, great granny. And then if you look on down in Matthew chapter 1 to the verse 16, and it says, "Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born," that's of Mary, "Jesus," which is called Christ. Direct line, all the way back over hundreds of years, to Rahab. To Rahab. You see, boys and girls, when you get saved, you become part of the family of the Lord Jesus. I'm going to read you another portion from Matthew, and here we close. Matthew chapter 12, the verse 47. "Then one said unto him," that's the Savior, of course, "Behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without," outside, "desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him, and told him, Who is my mother? And who are my brethren?" And listen. "And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples, and said, Behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother." Isn't that a marvelous thing? The Lord Jesus said, these disciples who are walking in obedience to my Father's will, and the Father's will is that you believe on the Lord Jesus as Savior, he says, this is my family. If you're saved today, the Lord looks down on you and he says, there's my brother, there's my sister. But maybe he looks down on you and he says, who's that? I don't know them. They're not in my family. That will be a sad thing. But you can be in the family of the Lord Jesus if you do what Rahab did. Believe by faith. When you come to Christ, maybe even today, troubled in heart, not saved, not part of the family, not on the way to heaven, will you come today to Christ? May the Lord bless his word to all our hearts. Let's bow in prayer. Lord Jesus, I pray that there might be that wonderful drawing of any who are not saved in this gathering unto thyself. Lord, draw them as you drew Rahab and her family, as you drew Andrew and then Peter, the jailer and his family. Lord Jesus, save any not saved in our little gathering. Bless the school today, overshadow it by thy grace and power. We ask of thee in the Saviour's name. Amen. Amen.